If you have your Bibles, we're going to get into the Word this morning, and I'm going to invite you to turn to Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22, and that is the last chapter in the Bible, so spoiler alert. All right. That was funnier than I think, give me credit for. Let's see, Revelation 22, and we're going to look at the last two verses of Scripture, verse 20 and verse 21. And we have been in a series called The Names of God, and last week Pastor Larry shared on the Prince of Peace. And can we thank Larry for sharing? Wonderful. Thank you for sharing your wisdom and your heart. This week we are going to talk about Jesus, the soon coming King. And before last week, I had shared a little bit on Jesus, the baptizer with the Holy Spirit, and really what is the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And that is something that is just such a precious gift that has been given to us by the Lord Jesus himself. And I had mentioned it, that it really is proof. The pouring out of the Holy Spirit on the church and on his people is proof that he has ascended and is seated at the right hand of the Father right now. And so not only do we receive that gift, we pray for an increase of that and a fresh filling all the time, right? Because the Holy Spirit lives in you, but how many, that doesn't necessarily mean you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Sometimes our flesh likes to take over. Anybody struggle with their flesh a little bit? Where it's like, I have a hard time saying no to myself sometimes. I just kind of want to do what I want to do, but it's a good thing to say no to yourself sometimes. Did you know that? And say no to yourself and say yes to God. And so we talked a little bit about Jesus, the baptizer with the Holy Spirit, and I want to talk today about Jesus, our soon coming King. I believe that this name of God, the soon coming King, is one of really the most hope-filled names that we can talk about, period. Because not only does it mean that he is victorious, that he is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and that he has defeated death and he's given us life, but he is coming again, which means he's not a distant God. He is coming and it's personal. Amen. I just love the heart of God, that his heart is so much just to be with us. And he's not sending angels to bring us to him when he returns. He's coming personally, and he's establishing a new kingdom. Somebody say amen. And so he is the victorious, he's the reigning King, and he is on his way back. And so I want to look at Revelation chapter 22, starting at verse 20. And the Bible closes with this powerful promise in the very last chapter. It says this, it says, "He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. Amen, even so, come Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." Now the one that is testifying here is the Lord Jesus himself. And he's saying this, he's saying, "Surely I am coming quickly." Now that word quickly really means you can bet on this. This is happening. This is imminent. It is something that is going to take place, so you need to be ready. All right? It's not a question of if, it's just going to happen. We don't know when. In fact, Jesus said that. He said, "Listen, no one knows when the Son of Man will return. No one knows when I will come back. Only the Father in heaven knows." And so we can't speculate the timing, but we can rest in this. He's coming again. I think too often we try to figure out when the date might be or when the time might be, and until then I can just go and live my life and do my own thing and say yes to myself. And then when the time comes, then I'll say yes to Jesus. But how many of you know we don't know when? Scripture says that when he comes again as the King to gather all the believers, the church to himself, that he comes like a thief in the night. Some scripture says it's like a flash of lightning, where it's like in a moment, right? We'll be living our lives. Scripture says people will be marrying and celebrating and living life and just enjoying life. But then all of a sudden he comes like a thief in the night. So we have to be ready. And so he is the soon coming King. Jesus has promised that he's coming back. Now, when Jesus says, "I am coming quickly," we find out that heaven's perspective of quickly is probably a little bit different than ours. Right, it's been about 1,993 years since Jesus ascended into heaven. All right, we're coming up on 2,000 years. 1,993 years, and he's talking about coming quickly from heaven's point of view. Now, that doesn't seem like a very quick thing that he has done. It's like, man, any day now, right? Like, we kind of are tapping our foot, and it's like, Jesus, you said you're coming. Like, it's been a time. In fact, the disciples who followed Jesus thought that they in their lifetime would see the second coming of Jesus, the Messiah. And so there's been this anticipation and this longing, but how many of you know, in light of eternity, 2,000 years is nothing but a flash in the pan, right? And so in heaven's perspective, we have to understand that it's not necessarily on our timeline or when we're ready. It's when he's ready to gather his church to himself and to receive that reward. And so Jesus has promised he's coming back. And I want to look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. You don't have to turn there, but we'll have it on screen. But it says, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord." I talked about this just very briefly, but I think it just shows such a heart of the Father, such a heart in the love of Jesus, that he himself will return. You know, it's not, I think sometimes when we think about God and how what he thinks about us, you might think, well, I'm not even sure God loves me, or he must be frustrated with me because of all the decisions that I make, all the times that I turn my back on him. But how many of you know Jesus himself is coming for you? He's coming for you. And so when we talk about Jesus, the soon coming King, he's not a distant God. He's saying, I'm coming, and I'm going to bring you to myself, and I will catch you up with me, and you will be with me forever. And so Jesus has made it clear, listen, I'm coming back for my church. Now, how many of you know that Jesus has been given the name above every name? And he's been given the highest place. He's seated at the right hand of God the Father, okay? And he is seated on the throne. And scripture says that he is there making intercession on our behalf. So he is praying for those who remain, those who are on earth, and he is making intercession for us, seated at the highest place, in the throne room, at the right hand of the Father. And Jesus has made it clear, I am coming back. And how many of you know, because what Jesus gave, which was himself, God gave of himself, how many of you know he deserves a reward? And the reward is the bride, the church of Jesus Christ. And so he's coming back, and he's not just coming back and saying, here I am, I'm here to reign and rule. No, he is drawing you and saying, you are my reward. You have been purchased at a price. Jesus said, do you not realize that you're not your own? But I have bought you at a price. And there is no greater price that could be paid than the blood of Jesus, the perfect, precious blood of Jesus. And so Jesus is currently in heaven, interceding for us as our great high priest, and he is in heaven preparing a place for us. John 14, verse 1 says this, Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." Jesus is talking and he's saying, listen, I'm going to go away and I'm not going to be with you. All right, I'm going into heaven. I will send my spirit who will be a helper, but I am going away. And Jesus even said, it's to your advantage that I'm going away. But how many of you know there was still a mourning in the disciples? There was still a sadness. And he's saying, listen, don't let your heart be troubled. How many of you know when there are times that you might feel distance from God, that you don't need to let your heart be troubled? Because Jesus sees you. He's praying for you. He's interceding for you. And when you call on the name of the Lord, he will send his spirit to help you in that moment. And so Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Everybody say that together. I will come again, and I will receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And so, when we talk about Jesus, the soon coming King, rather than necessarily trying to figure out the when, we need to settle it in our heart and have an anticipation and a long. Is it okay to long for his returns? Somebody say yes. Is it okay to long to be with him and to see him face to face? Because scripture says we will. Somebody say yes. But we can walk, be prepared for his return. In the meantime, we are to prepare for his return. Now, Jesus does, in his goodness, give us a glimpse of what the climate will be before he returns. Luke 21, verse 25 says, and there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, and on the earth, distress of nations, with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and with great glory. Now, when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near. Romans 13, 11 says it this way, our salvation is nearer than when we first believe. How many of you know, you maybe grew up in church and maybe you've heard something like this before, that Jesus is coming again, that he will return, that he will gather his church to himself. And how many of you know, if it was coming, if Jesus was returning soon then, how many of you know it's coming real soon now, right? We are getting closer and closer to the return of the Lord. And so how do we prepare for his coming? I think that's the question. If this is who God is, that he is our soon coming King, how can we ourselves prepare to be caught up by him? Number one, we must put on Christ. Everybody say that. We must put on Christ. I want to read one of Jesus' parables out of Matthew 22, verse 8. Most of Jesus' parables were about preparing for his return. But we see this parable in Matthew 22, verse 8. It says, Jesus says this, then he said to his servants, the wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. In other words, Jesus is saying, listen, there are those who are called, that I've called to myself, that I've prepared a place for them, but they were not worthy because they rejected me. He says their wedding's ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Therefore, go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite to the wedding. And so those servants, they went out into the highways and gathered together all who they found, both bad and good, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have a wedding garment. In other words, he had not put on the proper attire. There was someone who was there that didn't dress for the occasion, that didn't prepare themselves. Verse 12 says, so he said to him, friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then the king said to the servants, bind him hand and foot, take him away and cast him into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. Many of you have probably heard of something called a black tie event, right? Where really, if you are coming to this gathering, coming to this celebration, it is expected that you are to dress a certain way. You guys know what I'm talking about? It's usually a fancier, formal occasion. And in this case, there's this fancy, formal occasion. It's called the marriage supper of the Lamb, where there is this feast and this party and this celebration of all who have said yes to him that are coming to be with him and to live with him forever. And Jesus is saying, listen, there is something that has been given. I have given these garments for this wedding, for this feast, but you must decide to put them on. The only way to have entrance into this event, the only way is to put on the proper garments. And how many of you know the proper garment has been paid in full? In other words, you don't have to go and save and scrounge and dig and work and do everything you can to prepare for this time. It's already been prepared for you. It's the blood of Jesus. And Jesus is saying, listen, you need to put on me. That means as you wait for my return, because I'm coming again, as you wait, don't just gratify yourself. Don't just do things your own way. Don't just live for yourself. Don't just be satisfied, well, with what you see is what you get. No, become like me. Put me on. Accept what I've done. Accept the price that I paid. And I will cleanse you with my blood. I will strengthen you by my blood. And I will give you my spirit so that you can be ready for the marriage supper of the Lamb. Amen. Romans 13:14, it says, that's why it says in Romans 13:14, it says, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. How many of you know the flesh says things like, well, you don't really need to do that. I know the Bible says, you know, you should do this. And it says, you know, you really shouldn't be doing those things, but you don't really need to do that. Listen, in order to be ready for his return, we have to be prepared. And one of the ways that we do that is we put on Christ, which means I'm saying no to myself. And I'm saying yes to Jesus. That means you might have to say no to some of your values. How many of you know that's hard? There might be values that you have. Maybe it was the way you were raised. Maybe it's your experience in life. Maybe there's things that have happened to you that have hardened your heart. And so as this protection, you've said, I have to live this way. But how many of you know, in order to follow Jesus, you have to die to yourself. You have to die to your ways. You have to die to your values and say, I'm going to say no to myself and no to my values, even no to my experience, and I'm going to trust you and say yes to you. I'm going to do it your way. How many of you know that's how you know you made him the Lord of your life? In fact, the word Lord means decision maker. That's why Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you don't do what I say? There will be many who call out to me in that day. Jesus talking about the day of judgment, where how many of you know we will all stand before the Lord, every single person, and give an account. Now, those who are covered with the blood, how many of you know that's the lens that he sees you in through? So thank you, Lord. But that we will all give this account. And Jesus said, on that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord. In other words, they're going to say, you're the Lord. I recognize it. But Jesus will say, depart from me. I never knew you. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, but you don't do what I say? If you can't say no to yourself and yes to the Lord, I want to encourage you. You are not on your own. Because some of you might be hearing this and you're hearing it through a filter of guilt and shame and you're like, I can't do it. But how many of you know you're not alone? Jesus said, I'm going to send a helper. I've heard believers say, how can we actually be expected to live like Jesus? He was God. But how many of you know he was also man? And scripture says that he was tempted at every point just like you were. Yeah. Meaning he had, in order to die as a sacrifice for your sin and to take your place, he had to experience life to the full. He had to be tested at every point. Meaning when he was in the wilderness and Satan came to him and tempted him for 40 days and for 40 nights, When it says that Jesus was tempted, that wasn't just the Bible saying, tempt me, being facetious. He was actually tempted. Jesus had to say no to himself. Didn't Jesus say that? He said, not my will, but yours be done. Right? The night before Jesus died and on the cross, didn't he say, Lord, if you could please just take this from me. But not my will, but yours. How many of you know he's the perfect picture of humble surrender? And if he had to say no to himself, how many of you know we need to say no to ourselves? And yes to Jesus. In fact, the only way to have a growing relationship with him is to live in that way. And it's to live with the humility, saying, Lord, everything that I have, every opinion that I hold, everything that I think is true, Lord, you are truth. I lay it all before you. If you want to know the Lord, Jesus said, if you want to follow me, deny yourself. Pick up your cross and follow me. Now, let me tell you this. There is no greater joy than being in fellowship with the Lord Jesus. There is nothing on this earth, no treasure, no riches, no fame, no fortune, that will even give a candle to knowing him. The one who was before the foundation of the earth, the one who created all things, the one in whom all things are held together. The only reason we exist, the only reason this world doesn't implode is because he spoke it. It all belongs to him. And you can have a true and real relationship with him. But you must say no to yourself, because your flesh is going to say, you don't have to do that. But to be in relationship with him, you got to say yes to him. Amen. There is something about putting on Christ. Philippians 3 verse 9 says, be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. There is a righteousness that has been purchased for you. And the Lord is saying, would you put this on? Would you wear this? I've prepared the garment. I bought it. It's yours. But you have to decide to put him on. I think anything can become a religious thing where you're just doing it. But I think something that is just a good way to live is the first thing when you wake up, train yourself for him to be your first thought. I can't tell you how many times, and I'm not trying to toot my own horn, because listen, I need to do so much more to be with him and to say no to myself. But listen, almost every day I wake up, the very first thing is, thank you, Lord. It just is. It didn't just happen overnight. It's because that's my heart. It's because I do it often. And I think it's just such a great way to start, is to say, Lord, I'm saying yes to you today. I'm saying yes to you today. That means if you need to put a little note on your mirror in the bathroom that says, say yes to Jesus, do that. It'll help you get in that place of gratitude and thanksgiving. But there will come a day where you don't need that note anymore, by the way. Amen? All right. Number two, we must be watchful. How do we prepare for this soon coming king? We must be watchful. Matthew 24:42 says, watch therefore, pay attention, look around you, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you must also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. So what are we supposed to be watching? Well, we talked and we said Jesus is coming as a thief in the night. Now, Jesus is not a thief, but that is what he's coming like. We don't know when it is. We don't know the hour. And we are living in a world more today than probably ever that will constantly do everything to draw your attention from him, to keep your eyes off of him. You can know what's going on in this world at any point, at any moment, because it's all in your pockets. And I can't tell you, I think I read a stat. Don't quote me on this, because this is not, okay, I just read this and I can't remember it. It is absurd how much time people will, at the end of their life, how much time people actually will spend looking at their phone. It is something like 30% of their life. It's like crazy. Now, if there's 24 hours in a day, and some of you are familiar with screen time, right? And you can look at how many hours, right? And it's like 8 hours. That's a third. And you're sleeping for the other third. How much time do we spend trying to know everybody else's business and not knowing the heart of the Father? How much time do we spend looking and comparing ourselves or thinking, what does everybody else think about me, rather than thinking, what does God think about me? You see, it is very easy to have our attention filled with everything else besides him. But we must be watching for Jesus. It's how we're to prepare. We must watch. Hebrews 12 says this, Hebrews 12:2, one of my favorite three words, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and he has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. We're supposed to watch for Jesus. We're not just watching the events that are taking place around us. We're not just, oh man, some bad things are happening in the news. No, we're supposed to look through all of that and see Jesus. That means in the worst news, when you're watching the news and you're like, man, that is heartbreaking. That is sad. We don't just look at what's happening and react. We look through it and we look to Jesus. Some of you got that. Why should we look to Jesus? 2 Corinthians 3:18 says this, but we all, with unveiled face, meaning there's with nothing in between, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. We are to be transformed into the image. We spend so much time. If we would just spend our time and give our affection to Jesus, you will become like him. And it's not an instant thing. It's not an immediate thing. It is a process. It is a sanctification. It is a becoming more and more like him. Let me tell you, whatever you look at is what you will become. Whatever has your attention is what you will be like. So what are you giving your attention to? If you are constantly giving your attention to the things that you want, the covetousness, the desires, guess what? You are going to be covetous. You're going to desire material things, and none of that will pay off. Whatever you look at is what you will become like. And so if you're going to look at something, let it be him. What do we do in the meantime? Number three, we must remain ready. Everybody say, be ready. Be ready. Scripture says, seek the Lord while he may be found. That's a sobering scripture. Because really what it's saying is, listen, you don't know how many times or how many opportunities you're actually going to have to hear this good news. Not only do you not know how many times you're going to hear it, you might not ever be in a place again where you'll say yes. Because our heart gets hardened by the experiences and the life that's around us. And we'll be like, well, I'll call on Jesus when I'm old. There's going to be so much life that happens to you, your heart may say no to him. Because you'll say, well, what kind of God? Let me ask you this. When we say what kind of God would allow these things, what kind of God dies for his created? Who are we to say, God, you've not done enough? He gave himself. He's not going to force himself on anyone. Is there bad in this world? Yes, and that's a result of our sinful, fallen nature, because we did not choose him. And so is there bad? Yes. And do we live with those consequences? Yeah. But how many of you are thankful that God made a way where you could say yes? And you won't only just be with him in heaven, you can know him and have relationship with him and be in fellowship with him. Is it okay to ask God questions? Yeah. Is he intimidated by your questions? No. Are there things that we just don't know? Yeah. But we know enough. We know enough that he made him who knew no sin. He knew no sin to become sin for you. Jesus literally became sin. He took all of it. And he put it up on that cross. And it was buried with him. But how many of you know Jesus, on the third day, he defeated death? And God the Father raised him to life so that we too can be raised to life with him. I feel like you can tell I was on vacation because I'm all over the place. We must be ready. And I think this is one of the most powerful parables because it's sobering and it reminds us just how much we think that we can treat God as a convenience. Matthew 25, Jesus says this. He says, then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and they went out to meet the bridegroom. Now, 5 of them were wise and 5 of them were foolish. Those who were foolish, they took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. How many of you know in Scripture oil is a representation of the Holy Spirit? And there are 5 that were not prepared. They had no oil. They didn't allow for that filling of the Holy Spirit, but 5 of them were wise and were not only seeking and asking, they were prepared. They were being filled regularly with the Holy Spirit. Verse 5 says, but while the bridegroom was delayed, talking about Jesus, they all slumbered and slept, meaning no rush. We're good. We're good. Just chill, relax, enjoy. Eat, drink, be merry. Verse 6, and at midnight, a cry was heard. Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out and meet him. Then all those virgins arose and they trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. How many of you know the time to get oil is now? It's right now. The time to get serious about your walk with the Lord is right now. The time to get into your Bible every day is right now. It's not for tomorrow. It's today. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Today is the day of salvation. And they went and while they went to buy, the bridegroom came and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Then Jesus says, he says this, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. How many of you know we need to be watchful? We need to be ready. We need to get oil. The Lord's already given us enough. And our job is to stay in relationship with God through the Spirit. But if we don't cultivate that relationship, we are like the church that in Revelation that left its first love. If you are here today and you're like, man, I don't know. I feel like the flame in my heart's gone out. Or maybe you're not in love with Jesus the way that you know you should be. How many of you know you can ask for help on that? Because it's not our job to get the oil. We position ourselves for it and He gives it. Ask the Lord and let that oil fuel a flame in your heart that will never go out. You see, the foolish virgins, they thought they could get in anytime they wanted to get in. And today the door is opened by the Lord, but how many of you know there will be a day where the door will be closed by the Lord? You know, I think if we live our life in a way where we say, I just need to barely make it into heaven, I want you to know that also means you could barely miss it. It's not enough just to be in church. It's not enough just to hear the gospel preached. You have to say yes to Him. Jesus says in Matthew 26:41, He says, watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. In other words, Jesus is saying, listen, it matters how you live your life. If you are constantly saying yes to yourself, you will say no to me. You can't have it both ways. We've got to bring our flesh under the control of the Spirit. And so the question is will you be doing what the Lord wants you to be doing in the end? I don't know about you, but I want to be obedient now, amen? The most important thing that we could ever do is say yes to the Lord. Is to say yes to His love. It's say yes to following Him. It's saying yes to the gifts that He has provided. All the promises of God are yes and amen, meaning when the Lord says, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh, on all maidservants and all my men servants, I will pour it out. We say yes to that. Why would we ever say yes to any gift that the Lord is giving to His church? Amen. Jesus is coming back. He is the soon and coming King. And maybe you've not heard that before. Now you have. Jesus is coming again. And we need to be ready. But you're not alone. He has poured out. He's given us His Spirit. He's given it to us. And so if you've made Jesus the Lord of your life, which I hope all of you have, and if you've not, we're going to have a chance to do that. But if you have made Jesus the Lord of your life, I need you to understand it's not by your strength that you overcome. It's by His Spirit that you overcome. So ask the Lord, Lord, would you fill me fresh with your Spirit today? This is so important. This is so important. Can we stand together? Let's go ahead and stand. And I'm gonna pray for us, and then we're going to respond to the Lord. Let's bow our heads. Let's lift our hands to the Lord and thank Him. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you teach us all things by your precious Spirit. And Lord, we thank you for opening this book to us, your holy scriptures. It is food for us, and we receive it. Father, thank you for reminding us that not only is Jesus coming back, but that He's praying on our behalf and preparing a place for us. And Lord, just as you are preparing a place for us, we must prepare to meet you by saying yes to you. Lord, the enemy wants us to think that following you is the hard thing. Lord, help us to look past those things and to look unto you and to say yes to you. Lord, you said your yoke is easy. Your burden is light. Lord, saying yes to you isn't the hard thing. It's the right thing. And so, Lord, let us not be deceived, but let us be strengthened by your Spirit to look to you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Then if you're here today, we're going to just say a salvation prayer. We're all going to pray this out loud together. But if you are here today and you have not said yes to Jesus, if you've not given your life to the Lord, listen, today is the day of salvation. There is no better time than right now to say yes to Jesus. And so if you're here with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you would want to say yes to Jesus and give your life to Him, just look at me and we're going to pray this prayer out loud together. Amen. Amen. Let's pray this out loud in a voice loud enough for the person next to you to hear. But let us pray this in faith, believing that what God has said is true, believing that Jesus died for us to give us life with him. Say this, Father, I've sinned against you. Forgive my sin. You promised me that if I would confess my sin, you are faithful and just to forgive my sin and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Jesus, forgive me, cleanse me. I declare that you are the Son of the living God, that you came and lived a perfect life, and you gave your life to pay for my sin. You rose again, and you are alive today as the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Son of God. And you ascended into heaven at the right hand of the Father, and you are seated there today, and you will return again to judge the living and the dead. And today, because of your love for me, I give you my life. Come into my heart. I repent of my sin. I say no to the world. And I say yes to you. And today, I am born again. I am a follower of Jesus. Not just a churchgoer. Not just a label, but a follower of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can we thank the Lord this morning? Thank you, Lord. Thank you. I'm going to pray one more thing. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would pour out your spirit on every person here. Lord, fill us afresh. Lord, we need you. We want you. Lord, we want to live in a way that honors you. Lord, where we grow and become more like you, Lord. So fill us with your spirit, Lord. Fill us and make us more like you, that we would be transformed into your image. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Well, we love you guys. We thank you for being here. We're really excited that you're here. If you need someone to pray with you, okay, we're going to have some people up here available to pray. If you need prayer for healing, if you need prayer and there's just things going on in your life, we would love to pray with you. Otherwise, you guys are dismissed, and we'll see you guys next Sunday. God bless.